Welcome to Season 5, Episode 18 of the Zebra Before and After Podcast. I'm your host, Lane Ball.
Our best sources where we start from is either Marketplace, which so many people, I feel, don't take advantage of Facebook Marketplace the way they can, and we'll delve into that. But there, of course, there's a lot of downsides of any type of marketplace, especially with the scammers, but it really is a valuable resource for buying and selling.
Jennifer with Saved by Design shares how she utilizes Facebook Marketplace that has led to great success. Joe with Click to Restore shares a great tip on priming your furniture pieces. We hear from several refinishing friends on what they are working on this week in their studios. Stay with us, friends. We have the inspiration, fun, and community that will platform your day. If you are like me, every time you see a reel by Jennifer with Saved by Design, you are either intrigued by the unique pieces she finds to refinish or by how much she makes on each piece. I love that she is open to share that because it helps others to see the potential for success with furniture refinishing. Today we are joined by Jennifer and we are going to talk in depth on the selling process with an emphasis on Facebook Marketplace. Hi Jennifer, welcome back to Zebra's Before and After.
Hey Lane, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Listen, so have you taken any leaps from the skies lately?
Oh, I have every weekend. Every weekend I'm in a plane jumping out at 14,000 feet. So.
Oh my goodness. You've really got, you're getting addicted to it, aren't you?
Oh, there's no doubt. It's definitely an addiction, but I'll take that over any other addiction. So I'm just running with
That's
it. Right.
That's not a bad one. I have to ask you this because this is the first thing that pops in my mind. If you're doing this every weekend, does it get old or is the thrill just as intense as it was the first time or second time you went?
I think it's just as intense. Now I have experienced like, you know, when I'm actually driving over to the drop zone, just kind of like anything else you do, you're just like, oh, I'm just kind of tired, you know, I'm not really feeling it. But as soon as you get in that plane and that air hits your face, it's an adrenaline rush like I cannot explain. It never gets old. I'm on, I think, my 150th jump. So I'm still going strong with it.
Wow. You're trying to catch up to how many followers you have on Instagram.
Yeah, I got a ways to go. But yeah, that's one good way to look at it.
My goodness. You know, I suppose too, I guess there's that when you're doing anything that's kind of daring, you know, it's the aspect of enjoying it,
yes.
But also being, you know, not being careless, not being, I mean, you always want to be careful, maybe not too careful. I don't know. It's such a balance, isn't it?
No, it really is. And that's a good point. We actually talk about that a lot at the drop zone is, you know, it is an adrenaline rush and it's something, you know, that you can do that is a daring and it's more of like an adventure. But at the same time, there's so much calculation that goes into it because there is a lot of technicalities, you know, that we have to be aware of on our gear and, you know, flight patterns and all these things that, you know, just looking from the outside, you're like, oh, you're jumping out of a plane. I'm like, yeah, but we also have to know wind patterns and, you know, what our jump run is going to be. There's a lot of technicalities that go along with it for sure.
Now, have you had, times where you've gone up and something happens in the air where they're like, that's not, we can't do it today?
Yep, I have. I have had that happen a couple of times and it's usually weather related. Like if we get up there and they see a storm rolling in and it's either making the winds be a little awkward or they see, you know, a bolt of lightning in the distance or anything like that, then for our safety, they'll ground us. I actually did a jump one day that it was just on the cusp of maybe the winds were getting a little weird. And so several of us did what's called a high pull and we ended up landing 9 miles away from where we were supposed to be. Yeah. So there was a farmer there. He said, I thought there were buzzards and then it was just people. They just, they just kept coming out of the sky. It was a memory for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure you were like, well, I'm glad you didn't shoot at the buzzards.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
My goodness. Wow. I'm sure it's so beautiful up there. I bet just getting more, I don't know, comfortable with being that high up. I bet you're able to appreciate maybe things in a way that you didn't the first few times.
You could not have said it any better. The very first time I ever did it, my adrenaline was so high, I could barely remember it. I was like, I don't even know what I just did. but now, yeah, we get up there in the plane and I see the clouds and I see the horizon. And when I can see the curvature of the earth, it's just, it makes you feel very small. You know, like you look at it, and you're like, oh my gosh, there's so much out there.
Well, Jennifer, you've had tremendous success in furniture finishing and in the skies as well. We're glad to hear that.
Yes. Thank you.
And as I mentioned earlier about your Instagram account, you have close to 270,000 followers.
Yes.
Amazing community with your incredible transformations and the incredible profits you're turning. You know, you really go out of your way to offer advice and help others try to achieve their goals, mm-hmm. sharing what you pay for a piece, which I love that, and how much cost you have in a piece, mm-hmm. and then what you sell it for.
Yes.
And so we want to learn more from you today on where you sell your pieces. Before we do that, let's paint the picture verbally. And that paint, that's a good phrase for us to use, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So we want you to paint a picture or paint the picture verbally on your process overall from where you typically locate your pieces. Tell us a little about your shop, how you manage all that. Do you have weekly meetings with Sheila, which is your mom?
Yes.
And this is fitting too. I was going to say, give us that 30,000 foot view, you know, of what happens, let's say, by design.
Absolutely. So we, and I think I've mentioned this before, but we always take a very old school basic approach to everything. I mean, you know, we'd love to bring in technology where it helps us, but a lot of the way we function is just old school basics. So as far as sourcing a piece, it's more like just, you know, we hit the ground running. We actually get out there, you know, on our hands, you know, get our hands on a piece. And our best sources where we start from is either marketplace, which so many people I feel don't take advantage of Facebook marketplace the way they can. And we'll delve into that. But there, of course, there's a lot of downsides of any type of marketplace, especially with the scammers, but it really is a valuable resource for buying and selling. So Facebook marketplace and online auctions are probably our absolute best sources for buying furniture. And occasionally we might stop at a thrift store or an antique store that looks interesting, but generally we don't have time to do that. So it's easier for us to be online and develop relationships with sources. That way, you know, we've met people that will send us links all the time. They're like, you know, I have this piece available, or you bought something from me and I know this person, I think this would work well for you, so on and so forth. So as people will find as they build their business and it grows, those things will actually come to you sometimes. So there have been several pieces that I have absolutely adored that were people giving me those leads, like that I didn't even have to go searching for it. So once we find a piece that we like, we try to do very fair negotiations with people. If I see a piece that I want and it's just listed way too high, and I know that I would have to really lowball somebody to get it in our price range, I don't even go that route, because I keep in mind all the time that I am the face of my business and I don't want to represent my business in a certain way. So there have been pieces that I've let go that I knew there was no sense in me wasting my time with that. But you know, we will try to negotiate with people fairly to where it genuinely is a fair cost for that person as well as us. Again, we use Facebook Marketplace a lot, and we usually are prepared to pay that person, you know, whether it be through any type of money transfer service like Venmo or whatever you may want to use to hold those pieces, because we respect that seller's time as well. And you're much more likely to get a good deal on a piece when you are respectful to the seller, and it'll work out better for you in the long run. I also want to touch on online auctions, because it is so undervalued, the pieces that you can find. And I get questions all the time, you know, where do I find online auctions? Well, here it is. There's two ways, and they're both very simple. Either number one, check with your local auction companies. Every town, I don't care how, you know, populated or not, every town has auction companies. Check with them, see if they're doing any estate sales, see what they have coming up, because this furniture sales in an auction are a huge thing. Like, I mean, this happens everywhere. Or they can also go online. It's usually hibid.com, HIBID.com, and you can type in your location and it'll show you online auctions from these companies that have everything you can think of, but you can search specifically for furniture. And that way you save your time. You don't have to go to a physical auction. You don't have to go out in town. You can make your bids online. And then whenever you win, you can just go pick it up at that point. And it really saves you a lot of time, you know, when you are trying to run a business, because time is money. And that's just the fact of it. And once we get a piece, as far as my pricing goes, and because I get a lot of people that ask about this, any piece I purchase, I try to keep in mind that whatever I pay for it, I'm going to get at least 10 times that out of it. So, for instance, if I paid $100 for a piece, my goal is to get at least $1,000 out of it. And there are some pieces that I've invested more than that, and it has scared other business owners. They're like, I just don't know if I could take that risk. I don't ever recommend taking that risk unless you know your financial situation and you're comfortable with it. Of course, we couldn't do that earlier on. It's taken us some time. But if I spend $500 or more on a piece, I try to get 4 to 5 times that out of it. So I just try to know up front, you know, if I am going to invest, you know, XYZ amount of money, have in my mind what my profit margin is going to be on that. And if I buy a piece for $100 and I look at it and I say, even refinish this piece is not worth $1,000, then I'm not going to pursue that. So that's something you should always have in the back of your mind when you're picking up your pieces. Is it worth the time? It doesn't matter how good of a refinish job on it, is the piece going to be in demand in the market? And then once we do that, we get to our listings and Facebook Marketplace, Etsy, and our like social media pages. Those are where we list. We don't pursue a lot of other listing options. Now, that can be different for every person depending on their location and their demographics. However, usually Facebook Marketplace is available in all areas and is successful in all areas. It's just about using it to fit your needs, which we'll go into that a little more. But there are so many different areas to this. I don't want to overwhelm everyone with information all at one time. So let's, you know, break it down a little bit and go into different areas that you're wanting to touch on.
I think when it comes to Facebook Marketplace, I think that there are, I don't know, I guess we could call them misnomers about selling refinished pieces on Marketplace. Do you see that with others as well, that there's just some misunderstandings about?
Yes. Absolutely. 100%.
Share with us some of those misnomers that you think people have with respect to Facebook Marketplace.
I think it's almost, this is probably just going to be kind of a broken down term, but I would call it a herd mentality with Facebook Marketplace. And I've seen it in, because, you know, I have a background in sales as well. And it's the same mentality that you get, whereas if one salesperson says, oh, you know, I can't sell to anybody in this town. People hear that and then they just let it sink in, which therefore affects their confidence, which therefore affects the way they present their pieces. And it's just a domino effect from there. So there seems to be an overwhelming consensus in the furniture refinishing community that there's only scammers on Facebook Marketplace, and that also there are only low ballers on Marketplace, which I have found to not be true at all. Those things are out there, but there are things that you can do to avoid having to deal with that as much.
You know, I was thinking about the pieces that you produce are high quality, and many of these pieces are very, very unique. And because they're unique, the price, the end price that you place on those pieces, it can be quite high. I think there's probably, I don't know, I'm just making some assumptions here, but I think what happens is when it comes to Facebook Marketplace, it may be that like, well, I bought this piece for $50 and I'm going to sell it for $250. That's a Facebook Marketplace venue. But I bought this piece for $300 and I'm going to sell it for $2,500. That's not the right marketplace for Facebook, because the clientele for that is at a different level financially So I think that's a lot of, that's part of the misnomers and assumptions. Am I correct in that?
You are absolutely correct. And I'm so glad that you brought that up because it's absolutely a misnomer. So a lot of people, of course, you know, the whole reason I post those videos on Instagram talking about, you know, the buy and sell cost. Of course, some people are like, oh, you're just bragging. No, because sometimes it's not always as profitable as I want it to be. But I think it's very important for people to see the realities of what they can get out of this. And people do have that assumption about Marketplace exactly for the reason that you said. You know, they're like, oh, well, I bought this for cheap on Marketplace, so I can only sell it cheap on Marketplace. But I found that's not true. I like to think of Marketplace as having like different communities, so to speak, especially with their buy sell groups. So yeah, you do have a certain part of Marketplace that's all about buying cheap, but you also have a part of Marketplace that, you know, you can definitely get high quality stuff out of. If that were not the case, you wouldn't have high end furniture stores that do sponsored ads on Facebook Marketplace. So that's something to keep in mind. And I can honestly say this is not just an opinion based, you know, narrative here, that it's absolutely true. It's factual that some of my biggest sales, some that I've had the most profit on, have actually come from new clients through Facebook Marketplace. Wow. And that's actually been where I have sourced a lot of my clients that have now bought from me 4, 5, or 6 times. So it's about knowing your ideal target, knowing what your ideal client is going to be. And, you know, focusing on the buy sell groups for the demographic area that you are targeting. So for instance, I know that a lot of my clients are going to live in certain neighborhoods of Nashville, Franklin, Brentwood areas. And so I will do most of my listing in the buy sell groups for those specific areas, as well as having it as the broad general listing on Facebook Marketplace. And Marketplace makes it so easy for you when you push, you know, publish on that listing. They bring up all these buy sell groups that you can instantaneously list in as well. So it's important to utilize those tools. For instance, just the other day, we had that green armoire that we sold for $26.75, I think was the total on it. And that was a new client that found me through Facebook Marketplace. I had never met her before. She had no idea we were in business. She now follows us and is hoping to have some custom work done. But we found her, or she found us, through there. So it's important to not be leaving money on the table, so to speak, just because of an opinion that has been formed around a certain marketplace.
I appreciate you clearing that up, because I think that's a really big one when it comes to the fact that you have a couple things. You have options when you go to list it, and those options pop up, and you can make those selections when you're getting ready to list it. But also the idea that just because you buy cheap on Marketplace doesn't mean you have to sell cheap. And I think that's a really huge one. And so you've helped clarify that.
Yeah, absolutely. And there were a couple of things that I just wanted to mention as well about Marketplace, because, you know, a lot of I get this question all the time, you know, where do you sell your pieces? And while there are other options, it's important to know that, you know, when we started, we didn't have a huge social media following, so we couldn't rely on that to sell our pieces. So I think it's very important to know that no matter what stage of business you're at, that Facebook Marketplace is kind of like your core option to start and to really get your name out there. And because it has so many versatile tools that you can use. But I did a series on my stories a while back on Instagram where I had people send me their Facebook listings, and I would review them for them and give them tips on what I thought may help them. And it went over really well. And I can honestly say, in the nicest way possible, I don't mean this in a nasty way at all, a lot of times their listings weren't selling because of the way they were presenting them. So it's really important to remember, when you are selling your furniture, you are wearing a different hat at that point. You are no longer a furniture refinisher. Okay. You are a marketer. You are in sales. You're a sales representative for your business. So it's very important to focus on your picture quality, your lighting, to make sure that you have a very descriptive descriptive description is what I was going to say. Detailed description there. Yeah. A detailed description there that answers all the questions a client would have before they have to ask it. The key, the number one key to sales is making sure that you are making it as easy as possible for that potential client to say yes. You know, offer delivery if you can. Make sure your prices are listed clearly. Make sure your dimensions are in there. Make sure you have detailed what the color is, because every person perceives colors a little differently with their eyes. Make sure you are describing every benefit to that piece, while on the other hand, making sure that you are utilizing those demographic buy-sell groups. And the one thing I absolutely cannot stress enough is make sure you're pricing correctly. I've had several refinishers come to me and say, you know, and they genuinely were putting out high quality work. And they're like, I just cannot get away from the lowballers. And I'm like, you have to raise your prices, because the truth is, you're undervaluing yourself, first of all. You're going to make it to where you cannot stay in business and be profitable. But also, it is not alive to say that when people see a low price, they associate that with low quality. So therefore, the clients that you are targeting that, you know, value quality over cost, you're not reaching them because they automatically assume you don't have the quality that they're looking for. So it's very important to look at the things that, you know, we are doing with our listings and say, am I responsible for this? You know, you can't blame everything on the algorithm. You can't blame everything on marketplace. You know, you can't continue to cast blame on outside areas when the hard truth is sometimes it's things that we could change to make it better.
Speaking of pricing on marketplace, do you keep your prices fixed? Are they non-negotiable?
I'm so glad you said that, because I wanted to touch on that. I would say 90% of the time, yes, that is the case. The only times that I have lowered prices is if I've had a piece for, you know, and it's only been a handful, maybe 4 or 5 months, I will start offering a discount. However, I will only offer that discount through my social media. I don't advertise that on Facebook Marketplace. You know, I'll reach out to my current clients and be like, you know, we have this piece. We'd really like to get it in its new home soon. Contact me if you're interested and you'll get a special discount. We don't advertise what the discount is, because as soon as you lower a price on Facebook Marketplace, the listing will now say, for example, $750 with a line through it, and now it's $599. That instantly tells people sell price. Number one, it makes them think they can negotiate more. Number two, it makes them think that there's a reason that people have not bought it already. It's very, very important to be firm on your pricing, because it is just a marketing trick. Whenever you lower those prices, instead of helping yourself, you're actually hurting yourself. And I also think that if someone messages you and they are a lowballer, no, there's no other name for it, and they try to talk you down on your price, this is my recommendation. Number one, always just reiterate, you know, thank you for reaching out. We really appreciate you. This is the price. However, for this price, you are getting, you know, XYZ, whatever it may be. One good selling point is if you're able to, you know, at least offer transportation to their home for the furniture. Of course, build that cost into the price, but you know, when you can quote unquote advertise as free delivery or free transport, however you want to word it, that's another selling point for you. And if they continue on, it's okay to set healthy boundaries and stop replying to that person. Don't let them get to you. Don't let them make you think that you should be charging less, because they are intentionally trying to do that. And I can guarantee you, because I've seen it work for others and I've seen it work for us, when you do raise those prices, you really start to weed out the undesirable clients. Because if they are already trying to negotiate that price way down initially, they're going to end up being a problem later on to try to save even more money. So it's important to protect yourself from that.
Well, there's so much psychology in selling, isn't there?
No, there is. There's no doubt about that. There is. Yeah.
I think so much of that too, for the most part, is just stopping and thinking about your own shopping patterns. Like, how do you handle you know, when you're shopping for something and whether you deem it as a quality piece or not, and how the price affects that. And
absolutely.
And then apply those same your own experiences in your processes when you go to sell a piece. I think that's so helpful in many respects.
Just
thinking about
is.
Your own experiences.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And especially if you look at a piece and you think, oh, I wouldn't pay that much for that piece. Well, then you're not going to be able to sell it for the price that you want. You have to change your mindset around it. Absolutely.
Yeah. Jumping back to something you said earlier, you were talking about the pricing and how if you price it too low, you're probably thinking in your mind, well, that'll sell quick. I'm going to price it because I don't want it to sit and I want to make a quick sale. However, that does affect the perception of quality. And, you know, I've thought the same thing, you know, when I'm looking for something, you know, everybody does want to find a good deal and, you want to feel good about what you pay for something. However, I have noticed that if I see something that's really cheap, the thing that does compel me to pursue it further is if I see that, you know, it's a closeout or they're going to sell out. I mean, they're changing businesses or something like that, because otherwise you see it and you're like, now, why is it that cheap? There must be something wrong with it.
That's exactly where my mind goes. And that's an excellent point. You know, if you do see a business that you know is doing a closeout or something like that, that is a completely different circumstance. And it lets you know, oh, there is a reason that it's this price when it normally should be much more. But if you're just advertising at that and thinking that you're doing yourself a favor by making a quick sale, all you're doing is running away the high quality clients, which is really what you want to grasp onto. So it's about getting those clients and building relationships with them, which is not always a get rich quick scheme, but it in the end, it's going to be much more profitable for you, much more reliable, and a much more secure income for you at that point.
Hi, this is Kate with Kate's Reclaimed, and this podcast is sponsored by my friends at Zebra. My favorite brushes, but I'll talk about my first favorite, is the Palm Pro. And it's my favorite. It's very easy to use, to work with on any sort of piece of furniture that you would be painting. It's small, sleek, and it fits right into the palm of your hand. And the other brush that I have been gravitating towards lately is the fan brush. I'm kind of using this one on smaller pieces with smaller surface area and more detail, but I'm really liking the fan brush as well. Zebra, you guys do a great job. Thank you for everything that you do for this community, and I hope everybody's having a wonderful day.
Thank you so much, Kate, for sharing about your experience with Zebra paintbrushes. We so value our customer friends. Now, when it comes to, you listed social media, Facebook Marketplace, and Etsy, out of those three, would you still say that Facebook Marketplace is your primary venue to sell your pieces?
I think that's a twofold question. Number one, for new clients that have never been exposed to us before, Facebook Marketplace is absolutely our number one source. However, once we get those clients and we bring those in and we always make sure they follow us and whatnot, I would say that if I just had to guess numbers off the top of my head, I would say that half of our income comes from new clients, which are generally sourced through Facebook Marketplace, but also half of our income comes from return clients. And that's really where your bread and butter is at. When you can build relationships with people and you know that you're providing a product that's good enough quality that they want to come back and get more. So I try to tell people you have to focus on building those return client relationships, because that's going to be much more sustainable for you over time. But yes, getting new clients, Facebook Marketplace is absolutely beneficial. And I also want to touch on one thing that just ran through my mind. A lot of people are saying, oh, do your clients not see these videos where you post how much you paid and how much you sold it for? No, they absolutely do. Like, I have a lot of clients that see those videos, and they will tell you we're okay with her selling it at that price because we know the quality we're getting and we sure don't want to do the work that she's doing. And, you know, her skill set is worth that cost. So it's about being confident in the quality you're providing. And if you feel that you're not providing that quality, that's where you need to make changes within your business.
Oh, I think, and you mentioned this earlier, kind of, it was a little bit disturbing to hear this, but you said some people say, well, you're just bragging.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why anybody would say that, because the fact that you take the time, because not many people do this, but the fact that you take the time to lay out what you paid for something, how much you have into the process of refinishing it, and then what you sell it for. I mean, that's so inspiring. I would think that if whether I'm going to do it as a hobby or whether I'm going to do it full time, or maybe I'm considering it, that you're just laying out there, this is the potential you have. You definitely demonstrate that you do a lot of hard work. I mean, you don't bypass that. You're honest about that process. But I think the fact that you lay that out there is extremely helpful. And I would hope that people would be encouraged and give you accolades for doing that. Because again, not a lot of people do that.
Oh, absolutely. And I appreciate that, Lane. Yeah, I would say that a majority of the people that we target in our following base, which of course is a composition of our clients and other refinishers, they do value that, because on the client side, they're happy to kind of know from start to finish what was put into it. And on a refinisher side, they're able to understand, you know, what is realistically, you know, able to be achieved. Most of the time when you run into that, which it's important to know, anyone building a social media following, you're going to have people like that. But it's usually just people, as the old saying goes, they're just jealous, or they have nothing else to say. They're a troll. You know, it is what it is. But I would definitely say that the good far outweighs the bad when it comes to that.
You've been so helpful when it comes to just the whole selling process in many respects, but I don't want to skip over just briefly before we close this segment about shipping.
Yeah.
Now shipping, you know, shipping, we think in terms of two aspects of it, shipping locally and then shipping through a freight company. Maybe it's from state to state. Do you do both of those?
We do. Yeah. So, we will, like, as far as actually what we call a delivery portion is, we will actually travel up to a couple hours away ourselves. Of course, with compensation from the client to deliver something, but that's usually in state for us. Anytime that we ship out of state, we will use what's called a private transporter. We prefer that over commercial freight because our furniture has much more care put into its transportation, because it's small businesses, small transport companies that are taking care of this. And we find those through UShip, and we've built some really great relationships with transporters that way. And it's such a, it seems like a very intimidating situation, but it's actually much easier than you would think. And it gives you the freedom to provide a service to your clients and, you know, to broaden your demographic area. So it, to me, it's a no-brainer that it's just something that maybe it's a little uncomfortable, but every business has uncomfortable growing pains, and it's important to pursue those so that you can grow and develop more. And, you know, we've had clients that were followers on our social media that say, you know, I really wish I could have this piece. And I'll send them a private message. And I'm like, if you're serious, we do offer shipping. And I have sent pieces up to New England. I've sent pieces to the West Coast just by letting someone know that it is a possibility for them. So when, again, make it easy, make it easy for the client, for them to just say yes and go ahead and commit to that sale.
I think that's so helpful for people too, that maybe you're not in the best demographic for selling furniture. Maybe you're not close to a large town or big city. And so this really broadens your customer base.
No, absolutely. And I tell people that all the time. You know, I also have a conversation with them about overcoming the, you know, this veil over their eyes about how they can't sell locally. So I'll go through that with them. But then I also tell them the importance of, you know, if, you know, it's 2023, if you don't have anyone local that can buy it, there is somebody out there that will, and these are your options, and you can get it to them. So seek all avenues, even if it doesn't end up being something that you really enjoy, at least you know you've tried it and you know whether it's for you or not. So definitely don't let others' opinions, you know, help you to make big decisions about your business that could ultimately lead to your success or failure.
Well, I love your perspective on that. You're kind of always, the cup is half full, isn't it?
It's so funny you said that. I actually had somebody say that to me a couple of days ago. I do. I've always been more of a problem solver, you know, my entire life. If I see a problem, it's not so much of, oh gosh, you know, that's a roadblock. It's more like, okay, well, this is the problem. So let's find a solution and we'll move on and, you know, it'll be fine. It's in the grand scheme of life, it's nothing big. So. It's just me.
That's such a great quality to have. And it's something that can be learned too. We just have to work at it.
Absolutely.
I have to say, in talking with you and then of course, seeing you on your stories, you seem like you're having a blast.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's a business. We have our stresses. You know, we have moments where you just look at a piece and you're like, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. But, I mean, when you look at, like I said, when you look at the big picture of it, I'm self-employed. I get to do what I love. I'm not having to punch a clock every day and I'm investing in myself. So if there's anything to enjoy or, you know, anything like that, this has to be it. I don't know how it can get better. Unless I hit the lottery, that might be better.
There you go. So how is Sheila with everything? Does she enjoy the business?
Oh, absolutely. She is a very, if you think I'm a glass half full, that's how she is. Like she is very chill, really? Laid back. Yeah. It's so funny because we're so similar. The only difference is she just doesn't like publicity at all. It's just not her thing. But yeah, I mean, she is normally the one that will actually talk me off the ledge because of my background in sales. I'm really hard on myself sometimes. And I'm like, you know, I have to meet this profit margin, da, da, da. And I've had pieces before I've told her that, you know, just weren't selling as quickly as I wanted. I'm like, I just don't know what we're going to do. And she's like, it is what it is. She's like, if it don't sell, it don't sell. It doesn't. We'll still eat. Mm-hmm. It'll be fine. So she always takes me back to the basics. She's like, we're still going to eat supper tonight. And I'm like, you're right. It's fine. I still got a roof over my head.
That's very good. Well, Jennifer, we want to have you back on soon to talk about shipping, maybe
Absolutely.
More in depth and give you insight, give us insights into that.
But yes.
Thank you so much as always. You're such a joy to have on. You're a great friend to the community and we look forward to talking with you again soon.
Oh, that sounds good, Lane. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
This week's refinishing tip comes from Joe with Click to Restore.
Hey, you all. Welcome to the Zebra Podcast. My name is Joe, and I'm a furniture artist with Click to Restore. I'm so excited to be here to share a furniture tip with you all. So today's tip is about priming your furniture pieces. So if you follow me or know me, you know that I don't prime my pieces. I try to avoid it 99.99%. Because I have figured out another way to secure my piece with a base coat. So what I basically do is I sand my piece, I scuff sand it with a sander or hand sand it, I wipe it down with normal water, let it dry, and then I paint it in a base coat which is a little darker than the main color. So if I'm painting a piece white, I paint in a base coat of lighter gray. I do one coat of that light gray, I let it dry, and then I paint over in two coats of white and then seal it in a non-yellowing top coat. And that's how I primarily paint my pieces. So in order to have a base coat, it's not always necessary to prime your pieces. You can paint it in another layer of chalk paint, which does give it a base coat. So I hope you will give it a try and see how it works for you. It has worked wonders with me every single time. So thank you so much for having me here and have a wonderful day.
I think many will try out your suggestion, Joe. Thanks for sharing. The community of refinishers that has grown over the years consists of artists from all around the world. We thought it would be fun to hear from a few of our friends today as they share where they live and what they are working on in their studios this week.
Hi, this is Richa in Illinois with House We Call Home, and I'm working on refinishing East Lake Dresser this week.
Hi, this is Jimmy Ann in New Jersey with the Shutter House LLC, and this week we are working on refinishing an antique buffet and an antique secretary desk. Thank you.
Hi, this is Amanda over at Lemon Pepper Farmhouse coming to you from Wisconsin. This week, I will be working on a piece that I like to call my harvest dresser. It's actually an antique piece, and I just have the feels for fall coming on. So I thought I would make this more of a, a fall feeling dresser, kind of like the mustardy black combo. And I am applying a bunch of very neat redesign with Prima molds on it. So yeah, kind of just designing as I go and hoping that it works out. So anyway, that's what I'm doing. And I hope you guys have a great week.
Hi, this is Ashley from Blue Wren Interiors in Queensland, Australia. This week, I am refinishing a vintage chest of drawers.
Thanks for sharing, Richa, Jimiana, Amanda, and Ashley. The Zebra Podcast and Zebra Review Monthly Contest welcome our August paint sponsor, Yachty with Lily Moon Paint, for a special message from Yachty.
Hi, everyone. It's Yachty, owner of Lily Moon Paint, and we are so excited to be a sponsor for the August Zebra Review. And it's an extra special month for us because we are celebrating the 2-year anniversary of Lily Moon Paint. And as part of this celebration, we have a new exciting collection launching this week in our opulent all-in-one paint, which you guys have loved so much already. So we can't wait to share more with you on that collection and all the other little things that we're doing the rest of the month. So make sure that you're following us on social media so that you can hear the scoop on the launch date and you can see all the new colors and you can also participate in our giveaway. We are excited to see your special coffee table submissions for this month. And if you use Lily Moon Paint on your coffee table, make sure to tag us and we'll go ahead and have a special feature for you on our social media. Thank you guys. Bye-bye.
Congratulations, Yachty. We love having you guys as our August paint sponsor and celebrate with you all on your 2 years of success. The Zebra Review category theme for August is coffee tables. Our featured judge is Jen Talley with Perfectly Imperfect Furniture. If you have refinished a coffee table from January 1st through August 31st of 2023, simply use the hashtag ZebraCoffeeTables. Jen will pick her 5 favorites, then the remaining judges, Katie Cloud with Katie and Company and Home, and Lauren Schwachina with Portland Road Living, will vote out of Jen's selections to choose the 3 winners. This month's prize sponsors are Lily Moon Paint, D. Lawless Hardware, Surf Prep Sanding, and Zebra Painting. Our Zebra Staging Contest with Jen and Amanda, the Vintage Sisters, for August is on until the end of the month. All you have to do to enter is post your pieces with the hashtag ZebraStagingAugust. Jen and Amanda, along with our 3 winners for July, will review the hashtag the 1st of September and choose 3 winners. The winners will be chosen based on the effectiveness of the staging, and this covers the quality of the piece refinished, how the pieces are staged with a particular style of furniture presented, and last but not least, the quality of the photography. The 3 winners will receive a special framed award, Zebra paintbrushes, and appear on our podcast. Also, the 3 August winners will co-judge with Jen and Amanda for September's staging contest. Thanks for joining us. We are grateful for each of you. All links to artists will be in this week's show notes. We can't tell you how encouraged we are when we hear from you or when we read your reviews on one of the podcast directories. Speaking of podcast directory reviews, would you consider leaving one on your favorite directory if you haven't already? This helps tremendously in our ability to reach more people as well. It is a big boost to our ranking. As a thank you for leaving a review, we would like to send you a small gift. Simply screenshot your review and email it to me, laneball@enjoyzebra.com. Put podcast review in the subject heading and include your full name and mailing address.